This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
But anyways, but I agree with you. The perception of the sport is probably better now than it was when he took over.
Right. But this, if he gets his way with this realignment thing, this is, I'm not going to be dramatic and say it'll kill the sport. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a really, really bad idea to do this.
There's definitely, and Maury Brown wrote about this in Forbes a couple years ago, last year, I think, how the MLB has already laid the groundwork for this realignment by balancing the schedule.
Things I don't like.
And by eliminating the, or putting the designated hitter in the National League.
Yeah.
And so you're already blurring that line to allow realignment where you could just whack the leagues all together and go, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But I think that baseball is so steeped in tradition, and I think it's a problem for the sport. I think that one of the things that's been holding baseball back is this adherence to rules and regulations and I'm just going to say rules and regulations because I can't think of the word culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Culture that is residual from when baseball was a sport that rich people played to get exercise, right? Rich white people specifically played to get exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And the remnants of that foundation have, I think, stuck to the sport in certain ways that have held it back.
Gotcha.
I think that adherence to tradition has been a bad thing, but I also don't think that you can ditch it entirely because I do think there's some of the charm of baseball is the nostalgia of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you eliminate leagues and now American League, National League is no longer a thing. The All-Star game is just, here's 50 dudes playing baseball with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like that doesn't play. And that National League, American League, that weird kind of pride that comes with it
mm-hmm.
is no longer there. And if you have, you're changing these divisions and these longtime rivalries and these longtime, even if it's not, A's Rangers is not something that you'd consider a rivalry, but I feel some type of way about the Rangers
because
right. they've been in my division forever.
Right.
So like, man, it's like to hell with the Rangers, to hell with the Mariners, to hell with the Angels. If you're eliminating that in the name of regional alignment, I think you're making a mistake.
I agree.
And I think it undoes some of the goodwill that he's built up in terms of shortening the time of games,
yeah.
certainly eliminating some of the unnecessary downtime in games,
yeah.
promoting more hitting through banning the shift,
mm-hmm.
Promoting more stolen bases through limiting pickoffs and increasing the base size, eliminating unnecessary downtime in the three batter rule.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things yeah. that I was against initially that I'm now like, all right, I see the vision.
Yeah, it's worked out.
But I think if you go, yeah, we're going to eliminate the leagues in here. This is going to be this weird-ass realignment. Nah, that's where I think you run into a problem.
The proposed realignment or just, hey, this is what I think would be the realignment. Because it's proposed means, to me, it sounds like it's actually being up for
mm-hmm.
consideration. This is just Jim Bowden's thought
yeah.
of what it might look like.
I have another one when you're done.
Okay. American League nationally look like it's gone. And it's Western Conference, Eastern Conference. And that is ridiculous. They also, and this is where my bias may come into play. They are separating the Giants and Dodgers.
Okay.
The Dodgers are going to be in the West division with the Diamondbacks, Angels, and Padres. The Giants are going to be in the Pacific Coast with the Mariners, Rockies, and A's. And this is a little bit akin to me to one of the negatives in college football.
Mm-hmm.
The conferences that I grew up on, that we grew up on, no longer being that for the most part, like the Pac-10, Pac-12 being gone, Arizona State not playing USA anymore or USC anymore. And I'm only saying that because that's not like, yeah, everybody wants USC versus UCLA, but it mattered when USC played Arizona State, when USC played Cal, or when Arizona would play UCLA. Like, those things matter, and they're gone. They're gone, I don't want to say forever, but for the foreseeable future.
That Stanford-North Carolina game just doesn't hit the same.
It doesn't hit. Doesn't hit. Giants-Mariners don't hit. And we're talking about Giants-Dodgers who they played in the same division. For 100-plus years, and you want to wipe that away for what? Now, that seems to be kind of like one of the only rivalries, like the other one they have in the Eastern Conference, the East, is Boston, the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, which actually would be pretty fun. But, I mean, the Mets and the Braves have a rivalry.
Yep.
That's been going on for a quarter century, Phillies excuse too. Me. Yeah, Phillies. I think this is a terrible idea, and I think I think it's gonna happen. Much like everything with Manfred, I believe if he wants it, it's going to happen, and I think this is eventually going to happen. You, like I said, that article that you talked about, they've already been planting the seeds for this for years.
Yeah.
And for him to go on TV and say it the way he said it the other day, that leads me to believe it's already in motion.
Yeah. It feels that way. So the Athletic, and there's two layers to this that I wanna get to. The Athletic has one where the AL and NL stay the same, but it goes to the divisions get moved around a little bit.
Okay.
So the American League East is now the Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees, and Blue Jays. It's going to be four teams.
Okay.
So you're going to have four team divisions in each league. The American League West is the Las Vegas A's, the Angels, the Mariners, and then a expansion team in either Salt Lake or Portland. The American League North, White Sox, Guardians, Tigers, Twins. American League South, Rockies move to the AL.
Okay.
Astros, Royals, Rangers is the AL South.
Okay.
Now, here's the part of this. I'm going to skip the NL part. The NL expansion team will go to Raleigh or Nashville.
Okay.
Here's what this writer from The Athletic said. Stephen J. Nesbitt. Where did my paragraph go?
Just vanished in front of his very eyes.
It did. What in the world? But basically he says in here, and this is really frustrating because it was, basically said that the teams on the West Coast that are likely to get an expansion team are in Oregon and Utah. No mention of Sacramento. There's nothing about Sacramento in this article. And that is where I would be concerned. The fact that we're really talking expansion now, and this idea of Sacramento is just gone. Like, not even a mention of like Portland or he says Oregon or Utah. He doesn't mention the city specifically, but he said the expansion team would likely be Oregon or Utah. Not even, and Sacramento's trying to like it seems based on this and based on other reporting, when you see other alignments, nobody's talking about Sacramento. And that's really disappointing to me.
It is.
Like, there's still time. It's not like, wow, they're never going to put baseball here. But the fact that there's a baseball team, a Major League Baseball team here right now,
right,
And people aren't like, hey, look, baseball's already there. Maybe they'll stay. Like, not even a possible. It's Utah and Oregon. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Right.
That sucks.
No, it does. It does. Now, here's the thing that I would say. First of all, I agree with you. Second of all, they're kind of where they already were. Because if this ace thing hadn't happened, they weren't going to be mentioned anyway. The only reason that you took this opportunity, if you're Vivek Ranadive, if you're the city of Sacramento or West Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
is...
I found the paragraph. Go on.
Okay. Is you were like, you were way, way back there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
This could potentially get us in the conversation that we weren't going to be in if we didn't have this.
Sure.
So far, doesn't feel like it's moved mm-hmm. them up the lever ahead of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like one of the things that I was talking about last week with you guys during the handoff.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you're Sacramento and you're a person like myself who lives here and I want Major League Baseball here, I don't want to say that other stuff doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter. I got to find a way to do what I can to visually
mm-hmm.
put out there to Major League Baseball. No, we here. We show up.
Like, sure.
We're here
because mm-hmm.
that's all they're going to look at. And it may not work. That may not have an impact either. They may mm-hmm. look at that and be like, that's cute, but we're still looking at Portland and Salt Lake City. But your only chance is if you show up in droves
mm-hmm.
for these games. And at least give them something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if in this first year they've given Major League Baseball, the owners, the commissioner, anything to think about because the attendance just hasn't been there. You know, yeah. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. I'm not blaming anybody, but it just hasn't been there visually to say, man, every time I look at Sutter mm-hmm. Health Park, that thing is packed. Like they love baseball out there. So
and that's what hasn't been there. And that's what it's going to take because they're not going to be able to go the typical route. They're not going to be able to just put their name in the ring. Like, that's not. Portland has been working at this for years.
Max.
Salt Lake's been working at this for years. Nashville's been working at this for years. Mm. Like, they are way down the road on this. So Sacramento isn't just going to get there organically. It's going to take some kind of massive push.
Mm-hmm.
Something that becomes the story of baseball. The A's make a playoff run over the next 3, 4, 5 years, however long they're here, and that stadium's just selling out. There's lines out the door. They're selling out season tickets. It's going to take that kind of story repeatedly to get Sacramento into this conversation, I think. And here's the other. This is the paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
It says, while we're still making only educated guesses about expansion candidates, Salt Lake City or Portland would fit the AL West footprint, becoming the closest geographic partner to Seattle. This map would turn topsy-turvy if MLB chose Austin or Mexico City as mm-hmm. expansion cities, or chose no expansion cities out west and two in the east, but Utah and Oregon are the most likely landing spots at this point.
Mm.
Here's the thing I'll say about this. This is based on, no, I don't have any sourcing on this. This is just, we had Dave Stewart on 95.7 The Game. And there was a story that came out about him being part of this group, this ownership group, trying to get an expansion team in Nashville. It's him and Reggie Jackson and some other people. And I said, hey, we're going to toss you a question about this. And he said, no. We can't talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about it. We cannot. MLB doesn't want us saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vivek, at that opening presser, when he's like, yeah, we're trying to get baseball here. It was this big, like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not supposed to say anything. So,
yeah.
I will say, while it's not encouraging that people doing these alignment things aren't even including, like, yeah, maybe Zach. That's not encouraging. If there's any work being done, any groundwork being laid, I don't necessarily think it would be out there in public right. where reporters are just going to know it.
Right.
Because I think if that groundwork is being done, it's going to be very much like MLB saying this, whatever we're working on is over if any of this becomes public.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that's happening. Yeah. I flip a coin and your guess is as good as mine. That's just how I imagine, based on what I know, it would go if they were trying to lay that ground.
Yeah, I remember the same thing. And I remember the same conversations around that. Like, yeah, like, even, like, I do believe that that was talked about
mm-hmm.
with Rob Manfred and Vivek. If they
There's took, no way it wouldn't have.
Right. If they took
mm-hmm.
this public beating and, mm-hmm. gave them an out for Oakland. I think expansion absolutely was talked about. But I remember immediately, I don't think you should have said that. And I don't know if that just wiped, like, hey, one strike, you're out of here, bro. We can't trust you. That might be the case. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, to your point, if there is something going on, that seems like it's something that's like
very hush-hush.
Yeah, not a lot of people might be privy to that information.
Well, and Polo in the chat said Sacramento never presented a viable MLB stadium. There's no renderings nor funding. Show the money and plans. That's something that's the kind of thing that, yeah, we haven't seen that publicly. Mm. But if they're working on this in the background right now, that might be something that they're trying to put together or they've gotten to MLB or, again, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is not even a I know and I'm saying I don't know. I genuinely have no clue.
Right.
Literally, you listener could throw out a guess and it would be the same validity as mine.
Now put them at Cal Expo.
share a stadium with Sac State football. No, it just so I do think it's not like Sacramento would come out and be like, yeah, here's renderings and we've got all this financing done. I think that's the kind of stuff that would be happening behind lock and key because MLB doesn't want any of this expansion stuff out.
I agree.
But if we get to 2028
and you're still not hearing
and there's still, yeah, then I think
Sacramento's best chance is if the A's get stuck here, which I don't think.
But even that,
happen.
But even if the A's get stuck here, I very much think that MLB views this as temporary. And even if it gets to year four, Vegas falls through, I very much don't think MLB is going to go, cool, you just stay there while we figure it out. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how it would go.
No, I hear you on that. Another interesting thing before we slide out real quick. Mexico City. I wonder who's actually going to pull the trigger and go to Mexico City. NBA has been interested in Mexico City for years, and hearing them in that write-up right there is also interesting. I learned something a couple years ago. Mexico City, sixth largest population in the world. I didn't know that.
Wow. They show out for NFL games. Those NFL games are fun as hell.
You went to one?
No.
Oh.
I watch them on television.
Well, yeah, they look fun. Although I don't know why, this is soccer thing too, why they tarp off the first like 10 rows. That always
bothers
me.
Couldn't tell you.
I think PSG might do that.
They've been doing construction at that stadium. That's supposed to be ready for at the
Azteca?
World Cup. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, they're always
doing.
They're always doing.
Yeah, because my favorite team plays there, so they're always doing construction at that stadium.
They'd be tarping off like the first 10 rows. I think, does PSG do that too?
I'm not sure. They probably do it for different reasons, but I know they've been working on that stadium for a while. Probably just for the World Cup though.
What are we doing? Anyway, what we're doing is, we're going to have our guy, Jason Jones, of The Athletic. He's going to pull up on him. We'll ask him about this. We'll ask him about Klay Thompson and Paul George.
You heard about that Cowboys doc.
We'll definitely ask him about that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely ask him about that. Yep. He's coming up right here on D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You good?
I don't know, dog.
Are you good?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I don't know. Like I said, we got Steelon Casey, ESPN 1320. My man Kyle Madsen rocking with us today. Jason Jones of The Athletic is going to be here in just a little bit. But earlier today, we were talking about the worst losses we've ever experienced in sports. Mine was Super Bowl, I don't even know what number that was, 49, 48, 58, I don't know.
48. This one was one of the Super Bowl.
This
Ravens?
One is 60, isn't it?
Ravens no. is 48.
No, okay, so...
This one's 60.
So 48, or excuse me, 58. Super Bowl 58 is the worst loss I've ever experienced. The last one against the Chiefs. Mm. And I told the story about how, you know.
No, 50.
Because this is
they
60.
Were in, Live was the one in Miami. And
this,
that's 54.
This one this year is 60, right?
The one
last
this year,
year was
60.
59. They lost 58.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 58.
Which is LVIII. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, we're back. We've never been more back. Go ahead.
But I talked about how when I saw Pat Mahomes take the shotgun snap and look to his right, I saw the receiver that was there and nobody around him, and I didn't even really look at the end of the play.
Yeah, Hartman just a little speed out.
I got up off the couch and I yep. just walked to the front door. I walked out of the front door and I walked around my neighborhood for about 25 minutes. And the great Pete Youngman was
noted
listening
Chiefs
to
fan.
The show and he decided to tweet me and he says, that was Miko Hardman with the picture.
Wow.
The
thanks, Pete.
I just talked about how this was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in sports.
Yeah.
And my guy, Pete Youngman, one time I was playing in a West Sac League on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I strained my calf and I tweeted, I said, this might be over. I might be done playing. This was about 3-4 years mm-hmm. ago. I said, I'm done. I do not want to get hurt. I'm this close to the Achilles. Mm-hmm. I don't want no problems. Pete Youngman DM'd me and said, here's my number. Call me. I want to tell you how you can help with that. And you can still be active. He told me about insoles. He told me about all this stuff. He said, you're going to be okay. If you want to play, you're going to be okay. You're going to get it done. Pete Youngman is one of the nicest men I've ever met.
An athletic trainer who's dedicated his life to making people feel better.
Yes. Why would he do this to me?
I don't know.
That's my man's.
I don't know.
Should I block him?
Wow. Wow.
I would mute him to get yes. that tweet out of my mentions. And then I'd do an engagement bait to get a lot of tweets, and then I'll unmute him so that tweet's not in my mentions anymore. Yeah, if you ever see me do an engagement bait tweet, it's because someone said a mean thing to me. I don't want to see it anymore.
That hurt. Damn, that game hurt. Oh, my gosh. They've got to win a Super Bowl so I can move past this. They've got to win a Super Bowl soon. I need a Super Bowl. I want a 49er Super Bowl.
That dream. I don't want to say it's cooked, but, I mean, you talked about it.
What do you know about Super Bowls, Dolphin fan?
I'll just go then. I'll just leave. I don't know.
You get hella emotional. I don't know. Logical point.
I don't even know about playoff wins. Thanks for asking.
No, but to Jesse's point, keep saying what you were saying. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. I think I'm going to agree with you.
I don't know. I'm distraught right now. Hold on.
Dang.
No, it's just like you said. They might have just missed out on their best chance, and it's like they'll be a good team going forward. But is that Super Bowl window even going to really be open?
I think
they need a lot of things.
I think
to go
this group is. To your point, I don't want to say it's shut because I think they can make a run. But to your point, they need a lot of good things to happen.
Yeah.
But I think with this group, I think that was your best opportunity. Here's the thing that I believe in when you have Kyle Shanahan. I think you reload, you retool. And that's what they try to do with this draft. I think it's going to be another draft next year where they try to get that next wave of 49er players to kind of get them back to that spot. Mm-hmm. Almost like I said, I think all the great coaches do it. You know, I look at a guy like Mike Tomlin is somebody that I've always mm-hmm. talked about. They've had different incarnation of the Steelers.
Sure.
But they've had those different incarnations of the Steelers, different teams that had the talent to win a Super Bowl.
Do you think there are people in Pittsburgh, like TC, that want Mike Tomlin fired?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
How different is this 49ers team from the Andy Reid Eagles? Is the team just always good enough to be around but just never got it done? And like maybe Kyle Shanahan becomes Andy Reid and gets it done somewhere else?
Yeah, potentially. But the thing is, the Eagles in the immediate future, they didn't. Like, people are like, yeah, man, we've gone too far. We can't do nothing. The Eagles didn't get better in that situation.
Yeah.
Andy Reid found a better spot.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, what if that just the 49ers situation here is just Shanahan never figures it out?
I believe Kyle Shanahan will win a Super Bowl in his career. I do believe
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know if it'll be with San Francisco.
That's the thing. I think he will win one, though.
The unbelievable thing is first of all, I meant to bring this up a while back. We had Tristan. I didn't want to derail the conversation. These people that are like, Kyle Shanahan's offense been figured out. Go look at the numbers, man. It looked like they were battling uphill last year, but they weren't like a bad offense. Mm-hmm. Go look. The fact that they were able to piece together a productive offense last year, despite how bad it looked at times, is crazy. But anyways, the Trey Lance thing would have gotten most regimes, head coach, GM regimes, fired. You trade 3 first-round picks to move up to number 3 in the draft, and you whiff on that pick. All the way whiff, where you're trading that player before their rookie contract is up. Mm. That's bad. But they got out of it because of the Brock Purdy thing. You can't miss on drafts like they did in 22 and 23. 22 in general. I know they hit on the Purdy pick, which is a huge deal, but the 22 class did not bear a lot of fruit otherwise. The 2023 class, same deal. Now D Winters coming out of nowhere to look like he's going to start is a thumbs up. But largely, if you have back-to-back draft classes like that are mostly unproductive, mm-hmm. you don't typically get to you don't open another Super Bowl window. It's really hard to recover from that. Mm-hmm. But they have enough residual from prior to that, 2019, 20, 21, and they have enough in the 2024 and 2025 classes if Malik Mustafa can play, if Ricky Pearsall can play, if Isaac Arendo can play, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, and then from this year's class, if Michael Williams is any good, and if CJ West can play, and if Nick Martin turns into a starter, and Upton Stout's a starter. If all that goes their way, then they have dodged another bullet, is kind of how I'm viewing this. If they wind up back in the Super Bowl in the next 3 years with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at the helm and this general group of players they have, I think it would be damn near a miracle. Mm. They need so many things to go right. And maybe they will. Mm-hmm. That's why they play the games. That's why we watch. That's why we're interested in sports. Right. But I not a lot of teams are able to recover from some of the mistakes that, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have made and recovered from. And I think the 22 and 23 draft classes were those type of mistakes. Like, those are huge misses. And maybe they recover from it. But it's going to, the reason I think they have such a steep climb, and it's not like, oh, they fell off a little bit, but they got to bounce back. Like, no, they have a steep climb because they fell, they're getting almost nothing from those two draft classes. So now it comes down to 24 and 25, and can you find outsized production from those classes to make up for what you didn't get in 22 and 23? And that's a tough, tough ask.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I think I also look at next year's draft as being one that they're kind of circling and trying to make sure they hit on and find they've got to really find the all pros, and it's easier said than done. I used to talk about this with the Seahawks, so I feel the same way when you talk about the 49ers. I got to keep the same energy. They would talk about what they did. I think Schneider was the GM there at the time with the LOB.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh yeah, he went out and he knows he knows what he's doing. You see, he just drafted these guys. Outside of Earl Thomas, I think they were a bunch of fifth rounders, sixth rounders, all this other stuff. It's like you don't just go draft another LOB.
Right.
Like, you don't just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with some of the success they've had with some of these guys, finding Brandon Ayuk, finding Deebo Samuel, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, these guys they found earlier in their regime. Just say, yeah, we're going to go find the next group of those guys. Like, that's not necessarily how it works. And they've gone back and forth. In that early time, in that, like, 18, 19, they hit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They were hitting on all pros.
Mm-hmm.
Dre Greenlaw was a guy they found that, you know, we loved and all this other stuff. It's not just simple to just say, yeah, they'll just do it again. They might not. They might not do it again and find that group of talent, find that core again.
Yeah. Saying all you have to do is find another George Kittle, like,
right.
Draft a Hall of Famer in the fifth round. That's what you're banking on. Right. All right.
They're saving grace. And the reason why I don't slam their windows shut is simply because of the conference they play in. If they were in the AFC with those four quarterbacks and those teams, you can't get back. Mm-hmm. That's just too much. There are good teams in the NFC, and things can change the drop of dime. Like, Chicago might have figured it all out. Now all of a sudden they're a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands right now, there isn't a team that you look at in the NFC and be like, I don't even know if there's a team in the NFC outside of the Eagles that you say, well, you're going to have to, the NFC is going to begin and end with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could potentially say that with Buffalo or with Kansas City or with Baltimore, or with, I don't know about Cincinnati, but, you know, those guys are going to be there. I don't think those guys are there in the NFC, and I think that makes their climb a little less steep, maybe you would think, because they just don't have that team that is standing, or that group of teams that seems to be standing in their way the entire time. Who knows what the Rams are going to look like once Stafford is gone?
Sure.
You know, so that's the whole thing. But they got a hit on some big time players, on some transcendent players, one or two at least.
I need to. There's a bunch of stuff in the chatty house about how TC was right. The Niners' play calling falls off after the scripted plays. Okay, first of all, let's just go through this. That's just not correct. It's not like that can be your vibe and you can be like, I know in my soul anecdotally that's right. It's not.
Yeah.
That's not how it goes. And scripted plays are not meant to, like, scripted plays are to see how defenses react to certain things and to set up plays later in the game. Scripted plays are not, we know these 25 things are going to work. Like, no, they're doing this to combat what the defense is doing and to see how they respond to this run. Okay, and what if we do play action off of that? Right. And where did they move? Okay, now I know I can use that play to set up. It's not like saying a guy's scripted plays or he's great at scripted plays, but he's not, like, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. That literally that doesn't make sense. And this idea that they just fall off. That's not right.
You're 100% correct.
Again, because Kyle Shanahan is not a perfect coach, and you will never hear me say that. Mm-hmm. Do in late game situations, do I think Kyle Shanahan sometimes gets caught between being too aggressive and too conservative, mm-hmm. and he's not exactly sure what to do, and he doesn't quite have a plan? Kind of. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's great at adapting, and instead goes, if everybody executes exactly right, this play is going to work. I don't think he builds in enough, if this guy doesn't win his matchup. I think he trusts his guys too much in certain spots. Right. But the 49ers offense, for an offense that's been figured out, their scheme's been figured out, everybody. The 49ers, we're just going to use yards and points. 2019, fourth in yards, second in points. 2020, disaster year, 15th in the yards, 21st in points. That was a lot of Nick Mullins. Mm-hmm. 2021, seventh in yards, 13th in points. 2022, fifth and sixth. 2023, second and third. Last year, fourth in yards, 13 in points. They were a disaster mm-hmm. last year, and they were still fourth in yards and 13 in points. Seems like a pretty damn good coach to me. Mm-hmm. They sucked last year, and that was their production? Brother, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know. I don't understand. Yes, I just laid out a bunch of flaws that Kyle Shanahan has. But all this, he falls off after his scripted plays. What? No, they felt everybody figured him out. Yeah, I think they got some scheme adjustments to make for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think, are they too reliant on Christian McCaffrey? 1,000%. I think we saw it in 2018, too. I think we saw that Jerick McKinnon was supposed to be the focal point of their offense. Mm-hmm. This pass-catching back that you could, because the whole point has been you can have 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end. But Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk can become, instead of a running back and a fullback, a wide receiver and a tight end, and George Kittle might split out and be a wide receiver, and now all of a sudden this packed I formation turns into four wide. Mm-hmm. And you can't put the correct defense on the field, and it's about manipulating what the defense can do, manipulate the numbers, and execute that way. Mm-hmm. I do think that part of the reason that 2018... particularly wasn't very good out of the gate even before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt was because there was too much dependence on Jerick McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think there was too much dependence on Christian McCaffrey. And I think there was too much dependence on Deebo Samuel being 2021 Deebo Samuel. The motion with Deebo didn't work the same way. It didn't manipulate defenses the same way. I think that's part of the reason they struggled. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel himself just wasn't quite the same player with the ball in his hands. Didn't have that same impact. Right. And despite all of that, they still finished fourth in yards and 13th in points. That's with the defense. It was ass. Not a lot of coaches are picking up the pieces and piecing things together the way Kyle Shanahan did last year. And again, I don't think the guy is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think the whole end of half play calling thing, where he does the thing where they just run it. Oh, and broke the run. And now it's like, oh God. Okay, let's see. Okay, now we're going to throw it. But also, we want to make sure we run the last play. Mm-hmm. Like, ugh. Like, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, like, the Niners are not a bad team. And Kyle Shanahan is not a bad coach.
Right.
Matt Eberflus is a bad coach.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan is not a bad coach.
You're spot on. You're spot on with everything that you said.
Sorry, I just rambled for 20 minutes.
It was perfect. You were 100% correct in my eyes with everything that you had to say. And we talked about it a little bit earlier as well. More so with football than maybe a basketball or something like that, or even mm-hmm. baseball. Like the coach's job is to put the game plan and call the right play, put it in place. Mm-hmm. Once he's out of the quarterback's headset, it's kind of out of his hands. Mm-hmm. And what I try to gauge some of these coaches on is if they are making the quote unquote right play call, if they've manipulated the defense or set up the defense enough times late in games where they mm-hmm. know, okay, this is their tendencies and we can play against that. And we know we can get this open and play in the right call. I somebody's got to take the charge for it. I understand, but missing a block or somebody falling or something like that, that's not Kyle Shanahan's fault. That's not mm-hmm. Andy Reid's fault. That's all they can do is put you in position
yep.
for these guys to execute, for the best chance for them to execute. We looked at And maybe it was. Maybe it was. But that last play of the AFC Championship game where Josh Allen, the play call was whatever it was, and there was a jailbreak and he slid mm-hmm. out there. Was that the wrong play call, or did somebody just make a play? Or sometimes you have a play call mm-hmm. and the defense has the right defense to combat that play call.
Yep. Sometimes your dudes are better than their dudes. Yeah. Or vice versa.
Yeah. Or the other coordinator guessed right.
Mm-hmm.
Or looked at it like, I think this might work in this. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean your ideal, your thought as a coach was wrong or anything mm-hmm. else like that. It just got beat in that moment. And, yeah, I'm just really confused with the Kyle.
I am too, man. It's so weird. And again, another critique. Just I'll jump on the critiquing Kyle Shanahan bandwagon. And again, critiquing. I'm not trying to fire the guy. I do think that he doesn't rely on his guys enough. And I know I mentioned that before, but a really good example to me is Mecole Hardman and Andy Reid. Mecole Hardman is not a super effective receiver. If you want him to just be that X receiver who's just going to go over there and run a route and get open and be effective at all three levels, like, he's just not, that's not him. But Andy Reid has found out a way to be successful with the speed outs. But just getting the ball in his hands mm-hmm. and saying, hey, you're fast as hell. What we're going to do is we're going to get the ball to you and you're going to go make a play, because that's what you're not going to do all X, Y, and Z. You're better at A, B, and C. So we're going to make sure all you do is A, B, and C. I think Kyle Shanahan, and one of his biggest flaws as a coach, and if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, this is the thing I think will hold him back from that, is when Danny Gray is fast as hell, Kyle Shanahan goes, okay, but when you're on the field, the defense knows that you're not going to run these routes, so the rest of the offense isn't going to quite work. Like, dude, at some point, you have to throw that out the window and be like, okay, this guy's fast as hell. What is he good at? Okay, he can run a slant, and he can run this jet motion. Cool. When he's on the field, for those 15 snaps, that's what he's going to do. But instead, Kyle Shanahan goes, hey, you know what? You can't get on the field. You got a handoff. You didn't pick the right hole. All right. Hey, it just doesn't. It's not going to work out anymore. That's the biggest frustration for me. The amount of players that they've had that just don't get on the field. It's like, man, you got to figure out a way to get some kind of production out of these guys that you're taking in the second and third round.
I agree 100%. That's one of the frustrations for me as well, being an offensive guy, like an offense. Man, you can't, this whole time, you haven't been able to find a way to play a burner. Like, get a wide receiver that just, hey, this guy, like you said, Danny Gray, just faster than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to play all the snaps. But you can't incorporate that into the offense. You can't draft one of those guys earlier in the draft instead of getting Trey Sermon or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, you can't go get Xavier Worthy. You can never find those type of guys and incorporate them into your offense. That is frustrating. I don't know a quarter, 1% of football that Kyle Shanahan does. But I do think that, because I've seen enough football,
mm-hmm.
if you have a Xavier Worthy, sometimes if you just send him on a go route, he's taking two guys with him and it opens up the middle of the field for a George Kittle or something like mm-hmm. that. If that happens once or twice a game, that could be the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, I think there's too much of an adherence to everything has to go exactly right. Like Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, they've got Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore like lining up wrong, and they're still scoring a touchdown on that play. Because Andy Reid trusts Patrick Mahomes to go, all right, those guys are in the wrong spot. Here's the why of the offense. They're going to figure it out. I'm going to trust my guys to make a play. And Shanahan just won't. And that I think, for me, is my greatest critique of him as a coach is I think he I don't want to say it doesn't develop guys, because they've developed a lot of really good players, but I think there is a what's the like he's scared that this receiver might line up half a yard off and that's going to throw off the entire, like, man, just he's fast as hell,
right?
Let him get on the field and figure it out.
I agree.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let me ask you the question while we're here.
They've had good results, though, so like...
Who would you take to build your franchise? Jim Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan? Jesse, you can get in on this.
Jim Harbaugh.
You sure? So here's the question.
That was my... If you said you have a water pistol to my head, you have 1 second to answer this. Harbaugh was my knee-jerk reaction.
I think it's for this reason. I think Jim Harbaugh, whether it's a group of high schoolers or whatever, will get the most out of his football team, like whether they're great or not. I think Kyle Shanahan, not that he needs great players, but I think just Harbaugh can coach up a little bit better. Kind of like what we saw last year. I'm not sure that Kyle Shanahan is getting that Chargers team to the playoffs. They weren't a necessarily strong team, but they just played good fundamental football, ran the football, played defense, and all that stuff. And that's kind of how they got there. It wasn't strong all season.
That's what the Niners have been great at, though, is running the football and playing defense.
Fair enough.
So here's the...
But I mean, like, just kind of like with the Gus Edwards, like, just more with less. I think Harbaugh can do more with less.
Okay. This is where I'll push back just a little bit on that. And maybe this is looking too deep into the essence of the question. But if I'm starting a franchise, I don't know if I'm taking Jim Harbaugh. Number one, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh can build something. Kyle Shanahan has built this 49er regime. Jim Harbaugh, he will take what you have, and especially if you're good enough. Like if I have... the 49ers 3 years ago, say Kyle Shanahan gets fired after the Eagles loss, go get me Jim Harbaugh. He probably going to take that team to the championship, because when a team is on the brink or they're close, I think he can push them over the edge. But if you got to ask him to build, if like I'm starting a franchise and I need somebody to build it, I don't know if he's a builder like that.
Harbaugh?
Yeah.
I guess we're starting to see it. Well, we'll see it now with the Chargers.
Chargers weren't bad though.
They stripped that down though. They aren't what they were before Harbaugh got there. They kind of stripped that down.
He came into Chargers. The Chargers were
like they had Justin Herbert, but like they got rid of receivers, they got rid of running backs and all that. Like I feel like they kind of restarted a bit.
Let me ask you guys this: do you think but like when my man got fired, I can't remember his name. But do you think that was an underachieving Chargers team?
Yeah.
Yes, because they had
Brandon Staley.
Yeah, Brandon Staley. They had talent. They were good. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have a good decision maker. Harbaugh jumped into a team that
Harbaugh didn't take over that team though. They got rid of some guys. Like that's not the same team Brandon Staley had. Like.
I think Jim Harbaugh is very, very good at putting players in positions to succeed with what they're best at. And I think he does that holistically and makes life easy on his quarterbacks, which is something Kyle Shanahan does as well and gets criticized for. But I think he just makes life easier on his quarterbacks. I think Greg Roman, as his offensive coordinator, is a really, really good run game designer, and I think that helps a lot. And I think Jim Harbaugh promotes a brand of football that is very old school, smash mouth, get behind your offensive line, and play this kind of nasty version of football. Mm-hmm. The biggest, I think, gripe I have with Jim Harbaugh is that he has literally worn out his welcome everywhere he's ever been.
That's the thing. If I want Jim on my team, I need to be ready to go because I don't think he's going to be here too long. I don't think he's going to last wherever he's at too long. He did stay at Michigan a lot longer than I anticipated him to. And I think it was his choice to leave. If he wanted to stay.
All right.
Well,
it was his choice to leave, but he was very, very motivated to do
so. Well, yeah, but that was him. The
Can you admit they cheated? As a Michigan fan?
I don't even, I can't say anything.
Yeah, they're just getting hit with show causes and all that stuff for no reason.
Hey, they might have broke some rules.
Okay, that's fine.
But
all
right. The university wasn't pushing him out the door like Jed York was pushing him out the door. Right?
Yeah, no
like,
doubt, no doubt.
That
no
was
doubt.
A Harbaugh decision, whether he was being strategic with his career or whatever. He's like, yeah, it's time for me to get up out of here. The players, the administration, I don't think they were pushing him out the door. So that's the only difference there. I think Jim is potentially the best coach in football. Like, and I say this, everything that I've said, but like I take Kyle Shanahan or whatever. I love Jim Harbaugh. I really do believe. I think he might be the best coach in football on any level.
What he did with Alex Smith was miraculous. Alex Smith going into, because remember, Alex Smith only came back to the 49ers in 2011 because of the lockout. Because he was just there. Mm-hmm. And there was that window where they could get him a playbook. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be a stopgap. It was a one-year deal in 2011. And then Colin Kaepernick was going to take over in 2012. But he played so well in 2011 that they went, all right, hey, you're going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. All right, here you go. You got to stick around. But prior to that, he was 19-31 as a starter, completing 57% of his throws. He had 51 touchdowns, 53 interceptions. 3.5 touchdown rate. So 3.5% of his throws went for touchdowns. 3.5% of his throws went for interceptions. That's 3.4 to 3.5, but you get it. In his first season under Jim Harbaugh, he goes 13-3, completes 61% of his throws, a 3.8% touchdown rate, and a 1.1% interception rate. He made life easy for Alex Smith.
Right.
And allowed Alex Smith to become a very, very good player for the rest of his career. Okay. Jim Harbaugh built that foundation.
I have a question. Could Alex Smith potentially have been that already, but was failed by his coaches? Because like after he left SF, he got to Kansas City and was still a really good quarterback.
He had some moments too before
Harbaugh. Yeah, he got to Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some moments too before I remember, what was that, Kyle, you wouldn't know this. What was that Thursday night game in Seattle that they won in 2009 maybe? And Alex Smith had a naked bootleg that sealed it for a game-winning first down or something, or game-clinching first down. And everybody's like, look what's going on with Alex Smith. He's starting to get it. He's starting to turn his career around. It is the most nondescript game that you can think of. I understand that. But I remember that vividly because I was like, yeah, it looks like Alex is starting to figure it out. And I think, that might have been before Singletary. That might have been Nolan.
In 09?
I don't know if it was 09. But I think it was Nolan because I don't think he had those moments. That moment was Singletary.
Nah, he just, he was a different player under Jim Harbaugh.
He was.
Jim Harbaugh, he always had the size and the arm and all that, but Jim Harbaugh gave him the tools to maximize what he had as a quarterback. And he wasn't throwing for 40 touchdowns or anything crazy. It was 17 touchdowns. And then in 2012, in 10 games, he had 13 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like he was going to be probably in the 20 range again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jim Harbaugh's superpower is making the game easy for quarterbacks, making the game easy on his offensive line. And not easy like he's dumbing it down, but hey, here's your job on the, like, it's very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Simplify everything.
Yeah, I don't like it's if yeah, I don't know, man. Jim Harbaugh doesn't have a Super Bowl either.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to go like, yeah, if he was coaching the Niners in 2019, they'd win the Super Bowl. I don't necessarily believe that.
Here's my
awesome coach though.
He is an awesome coach. I love
49ers have really had two generational coaches.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Within the decade or however you want to call it.
I love Jim Harbaugh. I don't want to say this is the one kicker for me, because I don't know. Both of them have their pluses. Has Kyle Shanahan ever gotten his teeth kicked in routinely the way that Pete Carroll Seahawks did Jim Harbaugh?
Hmm.
They beat the crap out of those Niners 7 out of the 8 times.
The Chiefs have kind of owned the Niners.
Not like that, though. They beat them, but not like that. The think back to this LOB mm-hmm. going into Seattle. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. The Niners would go into Seattle and score like 6 points.
Right.
And have 22
except
yards
for the
rushing.
NFC title game.
Right. That was the mm-hmm. one time where like they were there. I think they had every opportunity to win. Mm-hmm. But think back to that.
Oh no, I know they had all those games that they lost by 30 plus.
They had no chance. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll was beating the crap out. And then they would come to San Francisco, and it wouldn't be that much different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember that game they won in 2013. Where they had to scratch and claw. Frank Gore got the run late in the game to set him up for a game-winning field goal.
That wasn't 12?
That was 13.
Oh, it was 13. Yeah.
They did everything in their power to beat that Seahawks team by 3 at home. Mm-hmm. And it was like 16-13.
The 2012 game was Thursday Night Football. I remember because I was working it. And they won. The Niners won 13-6.
Yeah.
Delaney Walker had a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Alex that
Smith,
one,
nice throw on that pass.
But yeah, 42-13 in Seattle, and then the next year was it week 2?
Week 2,
29-3, and then beat Seattle at home 19-17.
Yeah,
man, and then 2014 the wheels came off.
Yeah, they were eating Thanksgiving dinner on Levi's.
2014 they lost 19-3 at home on Thanksgiving, and then lost 17-7 at Seattle.
Like he would play Seattle and not have a shot. Does Kyle Shanahan have that?
I feel that way with the Chiefs right now. Mm. I think they have no shot to beat the Chiefs.
Mm.
Like, just I think there's a Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid just have the Niners in a chokehold.
Besides the Chiefs, has Kyle Shanahan ran into a team as good as that Seahawks team as well?
I think the Chiefs are up there.
I said besides the Chiefs, though.
The Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
He's 0-2 against the Ravens, but
I'm thinking more like
Christmas
NFC.
Night,
like
they didn't have a shot, but when they went to Baltimore, they had a chance
to win that game.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like NFC. Like they played the Chiefs, I guess enough to where you could throw that.
Not
out
in
there,
the NFC.
NFC, yeah. I don't think they faced anyone as good as that Legion of Boom team.
Not a conference foe like that.
Green Bay has had some really good teams,
mm-hmm.
but the Niners
they
have
got
smacked up. But.
Green Bay got Kyle in like the Beathard Mullins times. But
Bethard almost went in there and won in 2018.
He did Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't.
Weren't
they
up like they were up?
Yeah, they were up late, and then Bethard threw a really bad pick.
Yeah. Somebody says Philly. No.
No, they went into Philly and beat their ass. What are we talking about?
Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. If they had gone in after the NFC title game and lost that game to Philly, then okay, maybe we could have a conversation. But they beat Philly's ass in that game.
Sean McVay outside of the Sean McVay's done well against the 49ers, mm-hmm. but there was a streak of, what was it?
That was bizarre,
seven
man.
Straight games?
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Yeah.
Ranged from 2019 to 2022, ended in January.
Okay. Thank you.
All it right, ended in January.
Baker Family Wines is what we're talking about right now. My people over at Baker Family Wines, those are my people.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to have this bottle as soon as this show's
based
up.
On how this show's gone.
Yeah, this
hand me one.
I need one of these things, man. Make sure you go to BakerFamilyWines.com to be part of Dusty's Clubhouse, where you get exclusive alerts of, you know, when you can come to the tasting room, private tastings, all this other stuff. You can get, you know, some of the white wines. I'm a big fan now of the 755, the Hammer and Hank joint. That's one of my favorites. So make sure you sign up at BakerFamilyWines.com to become part of Dusty's Clubhouse for sure, man. Kyle, this was fun, man. These last 2 days were fun.
I think the Miami Dolphins might be the answer. They have whooped the Niners' ass twice under Kyle Shanahan.
It's true.
They Niners whooped their ass when they were at their best.
Yeah.
Then we've taken three out of four against you guys.
What was the tweet?
I don't know. I can't remember.
It was number one defense, my ass.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, you got the memory of Kenny, huh? I'm super memory man over here.
Thanks, guys.
Dolphins do have three out of four times or something like that.
Yeah, they got
drink water, be nice to people.
Yeah, it's time to get up out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. with the Insiders. D-Lo's back. Y'all be good. Appreciate y'all. Vamos, Kyle Shanahan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.